Today on Tips from the Top Floor, will storing your lenses a certain way degrade their sharpness? And what's better, autofocus or manual focus? This episode is brought to you by Discover the Top Floor, the one place that will teach you to see the world through the eyes of a real photographer, spend an amazing time with like-minded people of all skill levels at places you always dreamt of, the desert of Morocco, the fjords of northern Norway, Kyrgyzstan along the Silk Road, Romanian Fall, Bohemian castles in the Czech Republic, and we'll go back to Lake Baikal in Siberia in early 2020. More at discoverthetopfloor.com. This is Tips from the Top Floor 837 for August the 23rd, 2018.
Tips from the top. From the top floor. Tips from the top. All right. From the top floor.
Hey, hello, and welcome. It's Chris Marquardt again with another episode of Tips from the Top Floor. The photography thing, you know. Let me see. Episode 837. I'm pre-recording this because when you listen to this, I'm in Ireland, in the northwest of Ireland, going at the wild Atlantic coast, and I'm pretty sure I'm gonna bring something back for you from there. If not a story, maybe a recording, or we'll see. We'll see in one of the next episodes. Okay, two questions on today's show. Scott asks a question about autofocus, and Michael has a storage question, a lens storage question. Before we do that, I mentioned this carbon offset thing in the last episode, and I received a few questions, so let me try to answer those. And mainly has to do with carbon footprint. And, there's carbon trading between industry and governments, and you've probably heard of that. And while that's not entirely free of critique, in my opinion, it's one way to at least do something about the carbon footprint. But I've never found a really good way to do this on a personal level. And the way I live and the way I travel does have its carbon footprint. And while I try to avoid flights whenever possible and say take the train here in Germany, for example, that's not always possible. And the fact that my car is a hybrid and that all the lights in our house are LED based, that doesn't even get close to making up for the flights that I take. It's just on a very different scale. So I was really happy when I recently found that company called Atmosphair, which is a German company. It's spelled Atmosfair. And they cater to individuals. And again, I'm not affiliated. This is not an ad. This is just something I found and that I'm, that I thought might be worth mentioning for those of you who try to be a bit more conscious about these things. And in fact, as soon as I found out about them and did some research and found that they are the real deal, and when I found out about the projects that they support, I have in fact retroactively done that for the entirety of the last 2 years of my travel. So every single flight that I've taken in the last couple of years and that I will take for the rest of this year, and every drive I've done that I've done for the photo tours has resulted in a payment to Atmosphair that they then invest in projects to save on carbon. And again, that includes stuff like hydropower plants construction in Honduras or the super efficient ovens for Nigeria and Rwanda, some projects in India, some in Nepal. The list is long. If you go to the website, you can find all that. And I've also retroactively offset the carbon of the ground transportation on the photo tours that that I've done. And I will continue to do that in the future. And I've decided to even add a link to Atmosphair and a short description on all of my photo tour pages. Because I know you guys. I've traveled with many of you on the photo tours. And we've spent a lot of time together. And from what I can tell, I believe that a lot of you would love to be able to join in when you travel to a photo tour. And that's why I've added that to the photo tour pages. And I'm just happy if you make use of that. Anyway, let's get to the first question of the day. And this is from Scott.
Hi, Chris. This is Scott. I'm riding my bike across Europe this summer, and Actually, at this time, I'm in Bavaria, so I kind of feel like I'm in your part of the world, at least a little bit. I think the cycling and photography go together really well. Every day I have new scenery, so there's lots of opportunities for shots. And honestly, I often get tired on the bike, so having a camera along is a great excuse to stop and rest and do something different for a little while rather than just move my feet in circles. Okay, you said basic questions are okay, so I have a pretty basic question, and that is whether there's any advantage to doing manual focus over automatic focus. It's difficult, honestly. I've got a compact camera, Sony RX100. There's bright sun. I can put on manual focus, and I can set it up so it kind of highlights the contrast, but it's still hard to see, and I've kind of given up on that, and I just use automatic focus. Are the algorithms so good these days for the focus that that's going to give me the best focus? And I know there are some cases like when the camera actually is getting confused, when there's something in the foreground that you want to focus on, like a sign, and you have to force it. But other than those rare cases where the camera gets confused, like I said, most of the time I'm doing landscape shots, is autofocus okay? So appreciate an answer to that. I really love the show, and maybe I'll see you on the road as I bicycle the rest of the way through Germany. Thanks.
Thank you, Scott, and greetings to Bavaria. That's awesome. That's an awesome place to cycle because there's lots of ups and downs, lots of hills there. So I guess you're having a great time. You say this is a basic question? No, it's not a basic question. Definitely not. Thank you so much for asking this. So, manual focus, is it okay? So you say you shoot with a more compact camera, the RX100. And you wonder if it's okay to use the autofocus on that. And of course it is. In general, yes. The answer is yes. Autofocus, a lot of research goes into autofocus. My camera manufacturers, in general, try to make everything as automatic and easy for you. So you buy their cameras and use them and buy new cameras because they make it even easier for you. It's just that some of us want that to be more of a, well, to want that to be even more deliberate or precise and more skill-based photography, you know? But we'll have to look at two sides of autofocus, and that is, on the one hand, it's precision, and on the other hand, it's the choice of what to focus on. And first, precision, how good is the autofocus? You know, if it locked onto a point and if that point offers enough contrast, then autofocus should be spot on. Every modern camera is spot on if it chooses the right point, especially with a camera like the RX100. And you can try that yourself. I mean, fill the frame with of the camera with a plain featureless white sheet of paper, for example, and then you will notice that the autofocus will have a hard time grabbing onto that paper because it doesn't find any contrast there. But if what you focus on has enough contrast, then the camera will do a good job. It's that simple. Now, sometimes it can miss. And that's the next thing, apart from precision, that's the second factor. That's the choice of where to focus. Because, of course, there's an area that the camera sees, the frame, the stuff that's in the frame. And there are a lot of things that the camera could focus on. Something in the foreground, something in the middle ground, something in the background. Or if you go and shoot a portrait, if you get close to someone, then yeah, you could have a situation where you're trying to focus on someone's eyes and they're wearing glasses and it doesn't focus on the eye and it focuses on the frame of the glasses and the eye is slightly out of focus and that's not what you might want. But again, that's the choice of where to focus. Yeah, cameras can be a bit hit or miss. The camera will try to guess what you want to focus on. There's an algorithm in there. And it'll do that based on various things, based on how you set it up. It depends, really totally depends on the camera. If you look at like the bigger wildlife sports photographer cameras, the flagship cameras of Canon or Nikon or Sony or anyone, they sometimes have very, very detailed configuration screens on how to focus on moving things and on still things and how long to grab onto something when it moves before it grabs onto the next thing. Like imagine a flock of birds in the air. and you're focusing on one and it leaves the frame, what's the camera supposed to do? You know, some cameras you can really go into detail in the configuration. RX100 doesn't do that. And I don't know the specifics of the RX100, but I guess that it'll give priority to things that I would say are in the center of the frame or closer to the center of the frame. It'll probably give priority to faces and so on, because if we have people in the photos, it's typically that we want the faces to be in focus. But the camera will never know your intention. That's the issue. It will always guess what you might want to focus on and then focus on that. Is that a problem? I'd say 90% of all cases, it'll be spot on. It'll be just fine, because 90% is the camera will guess the right thing, right? With all its automatic things, it's mostly right most of the time. And as long as you have a way to recognize if the camera gets it wrong and then be able to nudge it in the right direction, then you'll be all right. It's very, very simple, unless it's time critical, but that's another story. But one of the most important questions here is the camera or the lens made for manual focusing? And I've had a lot of cameras and I've had a lot of lenses, and I would say the RX100 probably isn't really made for manual focusing. I mean, the fact that a camera allows you to manually focus doesn't mean it'll be good at it or that it'll be easy to do. When I manually focus here, I typically do it with lenses that have been made for exactly that use case. My manual focus lenses have big focus rings that run very smoothly. I mean, it's a joy to focus with one of these lenses, because it's like, depends on how old you are. You might remember the old stereos in the living room with the big volume knob, and some of those were like amazingly smooth and some of those felt like cheap plastic. And then in combination with the full frame sensor on my camera, that makes them really good at helping me to get good manual focus, get it spot on. And I take the decision on where to focus, and I'm also in charge of the precision here. But then I also have lenses that are not made for manual focus, like the 50 1.8 STM by Canon. I mean, it does have a focus ring, but it is fly-by-wire. So when you turn the ring, there is no mechanical connection between the ring and the lens elements, so it feels like a bit of a disconnect there. And can I manual focus with that lens? Of course I can. But is it fun? Not really, you know? I much prefer the manual focusing to be fully mechanical. And it feels very immediate. It's a bit like, you know, early automatic transmissions in cars. Like first, second generation ones. They just made the drivers feel very disconnected. Anyway, don't worry too much which way to focus. If autofocus gives you good results, then there's no reason to not use it. And if you know how to manually focus with your camera, and if you practice it just a little bit, then that means you'll have a tool in your photographer's tool belt that you can pull out anytime you really need it. And this episode is again supported by Dougall, which is a legendary photo lab that is now at your fingertips. Shop Dougall is the expanded online storefront of Dougall Visual Solutions, a leader and innovator in photographic printing for over 50 years. ShopDougall.com is an easy-to-use modern online storefront that delivers instant access to world-class printing solutions such as HD photo and archival pigment prints, acrylic prints, canvas prints, metal prints, photo books, and more. And they ground ship for free. There are plenty of options when it comes to online photo services, but no other website can offer over 50 years of experience and success delivering premium quality work to the world's top image makers like ShopDougall.com. They deliver the same brick and mortar quality that customers have come to expect for decades, but now make it easily accessible from your own home at competitive online prices. Give us your best work. We'll give you ours. Find more at ShopDougall.com/topfloor. That's ShopDougall.com/topfloor. And use promo code TOPFLOOR at checkout to get 25% off your first order. That's ShopDougall.com/topfloor. Wow, you guys make it really easy with all the questions that you've sent in. You are an amazing bunch of people, and keep them coming. Keep your questions coming. Record anything you can think of. Well, photography related, of course. And send it to voice@tfttf.com. Recording is easy. Use your smartphone. Any voice recorder app will do. And I promise I'll make you sound good. And your question, it doesn't matter. It doesn't have to be a super smart question. The simplest questions are often the ones that most people will then go, ooh, thank God he asked that. So go ahead and do that. Record something. Send it to voice@tfttf.com. I can't wait to hear from you. Thank you.
Hello, Chris. This is Michael from Des Moines, Iowa, United States. Really enjoy the podcast. You've been very informative, and I started using Affinity Photo for my post-processing, and I find that a very good option to Photoshop. My question is this. Is there necessarily a correct or incorrect way to store your camera equipment? Specifically, I have a Sigma 120-300mm f2.8. This is the older version without the optic stabilizer. I've noticed over time, at least recently, the images don't necessarily seem as sharp as I believe they used to be. I'm not sure if it's necessarily because when I store it, I normally store it vertically, and I wonder if that might have, over time, possibly caused some issues with all the glass mechanics inside possibly being altered slightly so that it was just a tiny bit off, out of focus, or if it's just that I've been doing photography for almost 15 years and I'm becoming more particular with my work. If you have any insight onto this, I would really appreciate it. Thank you and happy shooting.
Thanks, Michael. Images don't seem as sharp as they used to be. Well, there's like a gajillion reasons that could be the reason for that, but storing a lens vertically or horizontally definitely isn't the reason for that. I think it's virtually impossible that has an impact on the sharpness of a lens, even over time. I store my lenses in whichever orientation, front element, up, down, vertical, horizontal, diagonal, yeah. So if you really see a difference to how it used to be, there are several possibilities. Let's try to go through a few of those. Let's say you might have whacked the lens and that could have thrown something inside the lens out of alignment. I had that with one lens. Happened on a photo tour, but you probably would know about that. So that might not be the problem. Maybe you upgraded to a different camera. In 15 years, there's a good chance that you kept the lenses but upgraded the camera. And that can certainly have an impact. First of all, different sensor sizes, different pixel sizes, different sizes of the circle of confusion will give you different sharpness. But then there's one aspect that I actually ran into myself a while ago, and that is, you know, when they make the cameras and the lenses, both the cameras and the lenses have production tolerances. They have to be precise within a range. And let's do a hypothetical example here. Let's say the camera can be, let's use a fantasy value. The camera can be between -3 and +3. And then it'll still be within tolerance. And again, fantasy value, just to explain this, -3 to +3 is okay in some measurement on the camera. And then when they make the lens, that can also have a tolerance. Let's say also between -3 and +3. And now let's assume your camera, I don't know, that they made it in the factory and it's at -3, so it's still within tolerance, and the lens is at +3 and also still within tolerance. And if you put those two together, they kind of neutralize each other and you'll be just fine. But now you buy a new camera. And again, that one also has production tolerances, but instead of being at -3, that specific one that you got might be at +3. And now you have the camera at +3 and the lens at +3, and that together will cause kind of a visible focus shift. I've had that, again, years back with my, the Canon 20D. All of a sudden, my old 51.8 and another lens were kind of severely front-focusing. We're talking half an inch, which was very visible in close-up situations. And the Digital Rebel that I had before, that didn't have that issue. So I called Canon, the service, and they told me to send the camera in and all the lenses with it, which was a tough time because it took 2 weeks. So I was 2 weeks without my camera. But they adjusted everything for free, and because it was a new camera. And when I got it back, everything was perfect. So maybe you've got a new camera that does that, that has different calibration. Another possibility might be storage related, but not in terms of the orientation, but in terms of humidity. Here in the Viewfinder Villa, we have a ton of old analog cameras. And if you buy a used camera, you never really know how it was stored. Sometimes they might have been down in a damp basement for years. And if humidity is too big during storage, then there's a possibility for fungus to get in between the lens elements. I've seen that in lenses, and it's usually the fungus eating the glue or any other organic compounds that might be in there. And you can see that if you look through the lens, if you take it and hold it against the light, it looks a bit like a spider web inside the glass. And I haven't seen this often, maybe twice or three times in 10 years. And I doubt that's what you're dealing with, but if you're afraid of that, you could always throw in a few little bags of silica gel in with your camera bag. Or make sure you do not store it anywhere damp. But what I believe is most likely, and I mean, you said it yourself, with experience, with 15 years of experience, you might just be more likely to spot things that you didn't see before. And the computer you're working on has become better. Maybe you have a retina resolution now. The tools change. And the only way to really compare if the lens became worse is to compare photos that have been taken with that lens at different times and under similar circumstances, and especially on the same camera. So it's hard to compare from different cameras and, under different lighting conditions. But whichever it is, unless you print your photos at huge sizes, maybe just don't zoom in too much. And that was it for this episode of Tips from the Top Floor, pre-recorded in August. Well, every podcast is pre-recorded, you dummy. But this one was recorded just a bit earlier than usual. But thanks for being here. Thanks for being subscribed. If you like the episode, let me know. Give me a rating on iTunes or support the show in any other way. There's Patreon, there's word of mouth, there's Tips from the Top Floor. There's word of mouth. There are so many different ways to support the show, and every little helps. More at tfttf.com/support, and I really thank you. Music for the show by Jeff Smith, the silent partner, Hans Peter Kagerud Publishing, and Slack Challenges by Release Pixie Matt, Rapsitar Armstead, Slack Invitations by Chief Invitation Officer, CIO Rusty Russ. And if you want to join in the discussion in our very exclusive little club, then get the link to the Slack in the show notes. We'd be happy to get you on board and include you in the discussion. My name is Chris Marquardt. You'll find me on social media at Chris, MarquardT. By the way, that includes Mastodon again, after the whole Twitter thing. That's a place I'm hanging out more at these days. If you're not on Mastodon, well, then what's keeping you back? Go out and take amazing photos. Be nice to each other. And of course, happy shooting.